A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exalt with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your body shall flourish like grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let all the earth cry out. Cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out. Cry out to God with joy. Cry out with joy to
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, the Lord appeared to 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. And to whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move from one house to another, for whatever town you enter, when they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust from that town clings to your feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I will tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nonetheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to share with you that I had a very nice prayerful time on retreat. I came back on Tuesday. And when I came back, I was told that there's a pipe leaking over in the convent. And my week went downhill from there. So I just wanted to get back in my car and turn around and go back down to Steubenville. But in light of this week, we prepared some wonderful stalwart parishioners for heaven. So I wanted to say to you that we're going to bury some wonderful people this week. If you want to come on Saturday, I'm burying a 101-year-old World War II vet in Dario. And then Jack Libertor, too. He passed away this past week. So in spite of some of the negativity of the week, to prepare some people for heaven. And then also, Barb, you'll be very happy to say, I have a radio audience that listen to us even down as far as Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I said to them, they were at the Basilica Mass this morning. I says, they listen to Living Bread Radio. And so for all those, again, I want to just give a shout out. I do every once in a while to those in the nursing homes, to those in the prisons, to those in Youngstown. I haven't had Mass in the prison for a while, but I'm hoping to maybe later this summer I'll get there. But for all of us who are homebound or in jail or listening from the peripheries on Living Bread Radio, we love you and we pray for you. That's the most important thing. And so today's gospel marks that commissioning of the 72 disciples that Jesus sent out ahead of him to prepare the way for him to come. And Jesus himself is aware of the difficulties and the welcome, or the lack of welcome, that they will meet. And he warns them that he is sending them out like lambs among wolves. Now, our Lord himself knew this. Our Lord himself says this, and he prepares the people in pairs. That's where we are failing as a church right now. We're failing miserably because the priests do not have companions on the journey, on the way. You know, when William was living with me last year, it was wonderful to have his presence there because we were able to bounce things off on each other. So many priests today, unless maybe you're living in a religious community, so many of the priests don't have that. They don't have that companionship. You know, when I was on retreat, Father John Ricardo from Acts 29, who gave our retreat, he said that we don't have that, and he's right. And he said that last year, during the year, one of the priests committed suicide. That's always on at our gathering down at Franciscan. And then we had to pray too for another priest, and they didn't say who was having also problems. The priesthood is on the cross right now, folks. It's real. The pain and suffering that priests are experiencing is very real. And our Lord knew that. Our Lord knew that at the very beginning. He sent them so that they would not be alone. So many of us are alone. A companion to share on the journey with all of its joys and sorrows. His instructions are straightforward, but tough. No money, no haversack, no security. Kind of like what Boniface Wimmer said. Boniface Wimmer was the founder of St. Vincent's Abbey out in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And when he said, when you wanted to join his community when he was still living, he was an old German monk who had a long beard. Great. It must have been wonderful. It must have been a wonderful person. If any abbey creates and makes beer, it's got to be a wonderful place to begin with when you're making beer. You know, and so the monks made beer. And they still make, you know, Rolling Rock. If you know Rolling Rock, that's from La Trobe. That was the Benedictine monks that started Rolling Rock. But he used to say, I can offer you three things. Poverty, the cross, in an unmarked grave. I don't know what he meant about an unmarked grave, because all the Benedictines that are buried there, they have a beautiful cemetery, you know, there. But that has not changed very much. And being with the priests from all over the United States, from all over Canada and Slovenia and Africa, and two of the priests I talked to them in Slovenian a little bit. And they said, how do you know that? How do you know how to talk? I says, in broken Croatian. Slovenian is almost the same. I says, go about 50 miles up north, northwest. You'll be up in Cleveland. That's the heart of Slovenia in the United States. That's the heart of Ljubljana in the United States. But our Lord's directions to his people that he sends out are straightforward. They're to lodge, but they can, where they can, and accept hospitality where they can, find their wages for the work, doing good for the kingdom. Their mission is to proclaim and to cure the sick, to help the sick. Where they're not made welcome. I did that in one parish. Not in this diocese. Wherever they go, to take the shoes off and shake the dust from the shoes of their feet. The rejection of the kingdom stays with them who rejected it, and they will not be carried as a burden by those who have been rejecting it. One of the things that we are learning is that we're living in a post-Christian world. That's not necessarily a bad thing, folks. It really isn't, because the Word of God, just take it this way. The Word of God is there for those who want it or who don't want it. They can accept it or they reject it. And if you reject it, though, leave me alone. For those who reject it, leave us alone. You know why? Because the 72 who come back, they go out and they come back rejoicing. They're happy. They have accomplished what they have accomplished in the name of Jesus. Jesus shares their joy and says that they have indeed been given the power through his name. He has given them something of his power over evil. This is more than performing miracles. The disciples are, in fact, confronting evil. And my brothers and sisters, evil today is just as real as it was in the time of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I'm sending you out in pairs of two. So you're not alone. The power is given not to avoid evil and hostility altogether, but to ensure the good news will be proclaimed in spite of them. The greatest gift, though, as Jesus reminds them, is not the power that they've received. The greatest gift is that their names have been written in heaven. They are destined for eternal life. Where is our name written? Where will it be written? You know, last week I was away. Our bishop has released a beautiful, simple pastoral letter on the Sacred Heart. He was, I guess, so moved by what Pope Francis wrote before he died on the Sacred Heart, he also wanted to write a letter to us on the Sacred Heart. But they sent us so few copies. There's a few copies there on the side and in the back of the church if they're still available. If they're not available, you can read his pastoral letter online. Go on the diocesan website and read his pastoral letter online. He's not the only bishop that wants to renew our love of the Sacred Heart. You know, we're going to, as a parish community in September, toward the end of September, consecrate ourselves and our parish to the Sacred Heart. And boy, do we need to do it. We really, really need the Sacred Heart in our life and to renew that devotion. You know, I, as a young priest, and throughout my priesthood, have always had a devotion to Christ, infancy. The infant of Prague. And it's basically the same thing. It's Jesus' humanity and his love for you and for me. So, as we end now our Independence Day long, beautiful weekend, and I love singing the patriotic songs that we sing and the hymns, and the My Country, 'Tis of Thee that we'll sing right after communion. I've always loved that hymn, that song, and we can steal it from the Brits. We ought to have it as our own national anthem as well. You know, you read and you pray the words of the hymn, and it's very, very beautiful. And you know also, history, just a little bit of trivia before I end. You know, the Star Spangled Banner is more than just that one verse that we sing. And if you sing, if you go on and if you see the other verses that unfortunately that we do not sing, you know, the Star Spangled Banner also has a very, very beautiful and symbolic meaning for our country. And not only the first verse, but I think there are two or three verses to the Star Spangled Banner as well. Look the words up and see what they mean. God bless you.